Take your Bibles tonight and join me in turning to Hebrews chapter number 12 this evening. Hebrews chapter number 12. While you're turning, I didn't do this morning. I probably should have, but put in a little advertisement for the bookstore. Every day, they're running some specials. And today they had some CDs on special and Italian cream sodas. Is the bookstore open tonight afterwards? Okay, so somebody's phone is buzzing out there. I don't know whose it is, so I wanted to make sure it wasn't mine. So I heard it out there. So you have to get in the habit now when you come to chapel, make sure you turn those things off or turn them on vibrate, all right? Years ago, we had a preacher who came to chapel. This was back when you had the flip phones. And he had his phone in, just making sure. Maybe that's mine. Isn't that horrible? I'll tell you what. It sure is. I'll have to pay $10 to get it from the business office. But this preacher had a flip phone, and he really did not know how to use it that well. And he had it in his pocket. And while he was up here making his plea for students, the phone went off, and he was just so embarrassed. You could tell, and he was just fidgeting every which way. And finally, he pulled it out, and he opened it up, and he didn't know what to do, and so he just closed it again and shoved it back in his pocket. And after he made his profuse apologies, that person called him back. And so anyway, that was back in the earlier days of the high technology with phones, but now we've got little switches that if you'd remember like me, just to flick that switch down, it would go on vibrate. So anyway, the joke was on me tonight, so Hebrews chapter 12 this evening, and I appreciate Brother Clark's message, and looking forward to his message tomorrow morning. Hebrews chapter 12, I want to begin reading in verse number 5, if I could. Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse number 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, that yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know, the philosophy of the world is creeping into our churches more than we think. And I think one of the areas in which the world's philosophy has crept into our churches is in this idea of child rearing. How to raise your children. The world has a distinct philosophy about teaching children, about raising children, rearing children, whatever the term is you'd like to use. And so often it contradicts the Bible. It's interesting. I was not raised in a Christian home, but yet I was raised in a home that believed in discipline. One that believed in forceful discipline, not abusive discipline, but forceful discipline when it needed to be applied. I remember as a kid, I was in the school bus in the public school. I was coming home one day, and you can hear a lot on a public school bus coming home. And I was talking to one of my friends, and we were talking about this matter of discipline. And I was telling him how that when I did bad things happened to me. And he looked at me and he said, "That used to happen to me," but he said, "I stopped that." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "One day my dad told me that he was going to give me a spanking. And he said, I looked at my dad and said, 'Dad, if you touch me, I'm going to call the authorities.' And he said, he hasn't touched me since." Well, I got off the school bus that day and I thought, wow, that is pretty impressive. And so it didn't take very long. My sin nature manifested itself again. And my dad looked at me and he said, "That's it, boy." He said, "You're getting a spanking." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, listen here, if you do that to me," I said, "I want you to know you'll never do it again because I'll call the authorities." And my dad looked at me. He was pretty calm in the moment, which was amazing enough. And he said, "Well, that's all right." He said, "When I'm done, you can call them." And that spanking turned into a whooping. I learned the difference. You know, a spanking was sort of what mom did, but dad, at the height of it, that was a whooping. And it was in a matter of moments. That was a bad decision on my part. Now, the story that I've just related to you, there are some people in society today that would find it offensive because they don't believe in any form or fashion that a parent should physically discipline a child. And the reason that I want to highlight that for you tonight is because that world's philosophy is at odds with the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about doing something horrible, but the Bible does sanction it and it instructs God's people in this matter. For instance, listen to these verses. Proverbs 13 and verse 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 19 and verse 8, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." You understand, there are moments of discipline in God-ordained discipline that sometimes cause weeping. In the context of households that are represented here, there are times when the tears were shed. Why? Because pain was inflicted, and that pain was not inflicted in an abusive manner, but that pain was inflicted to you in such a way to teach you a lesson and to help you not cross a line over and over and over again. Proverbs 22 and verse 15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 23 and verse 13, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He may make you think he's going to die." But why does the Bible give those types of admonitions? Because in the unit of a physical family, it's very important for discipline to be administered, and parents have the responsibility for administering that discipline. Now, with that picture drawn tonight, I want you to understand that discipline is not just something that we experience physically, but it is something that in Hebrews chapter 12 relates to us tonight, that we experience it spiritually. And can I tell you firsthand, based on my own account, as a child of God, there are times where God has given me spankings. And there have been times that God gave me a whooping. Now there are some of you tonight, you say, "I know very well the difference between a spanking and a whooping." And usually the difference is the obstinance of your heart. The more the rebellious child digs in, the more severe that discipline and the chastisement becomes. And why we are humored sometimes when we're in the supermarket and we see such things take place, or we're out in the open and we say, "Oh, my child would never do that." But yet I'm talking to maybe some people here tonight under the sound of my voice. As you sit in this service, as you start this semester, as you listen, you know that if you keep going in the direction that you're in, one day God is somehow going to get your attention. The idea of discipline has been downplayed in our society, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that we're more and more unaware of it in our churches. And so tonight, I want to tell you about when God gives a whooping. I want you to see what He is trying to do. I want you to see what happens, and I want you to see how you should respond to it. And it may be that some of us would listen tonight where we would never get to the backside of the woodshed because we figured it out that we must hit our knees tonight and get right with God. Now, I want us to begin this evening by first of all seeing that Hebrews chapter 12 tells us a forgotten truth. Brother Clark talked about forgetting this morning. As I heard that, I could bear witness with so much of things that he said he had forgotten. Just, fellas, when you get married, don't forget your anniversary. That's a bad one. I've never done that, but now that I've been married 26 years, I'm probably due, so it'll probably happen next year, and you'll see me in a doghouse. But notice in verse number 5 what happens. He says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you." And he's telling these Hebrew believers, he says, listen, you've forgotten something that is very, very important. Listen to me, you can parse a verb, you can parse exegete a passage. You can give 100% on the exam and spit out everything that is correct. But if you're here tonight and you have forgotten the fact that God disciplines His children, you're missing a lot. These believers had forgotten the fact that God was a disciplinarian. And he begins when he says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." Discipline is an unpleasant subject. As much as children like to think that parents enjoy talking about it, we never did. But it is an essential thing. And the very first thing he appeals to when he tells them that this is a forgotten truth is he appeals to the relationship. He said, "My son." Sometimes we're like, "Don't treat me like a child." Have you ever said that? Maybe some of you, you're gotten to college now and you're like, you tell your parents, "Listen, I know, don't treat me like a little kid." Well, tonight, no matter how old you are, just remember this, that God's going to always, if you're a child of God, He'll treat you like a child. But when God treats you like a child, He doesn't do it for some crazy reason or the fact that you're very immature. He treats you like a child because as a child, He loves you and He wants to work in you to make you more into the image of Jesus Christ. But you see, not only the relationship and this forgotten truth, he says, "My son," then he says, "despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." He talks about a reaction. I don't react very well to pain in general. Years ago, I was using a hammer and I swung it and hit my thumb and it hurt. I don't like that. I don't like pain. Whether you inflict it or I inflict it myself, I really don't like it. And sometimes when negative things come, what's your reaction? I'll be honest, this weekend I had just a series of things. I was like, "Oh boy, when's the next shoe going to drop?" You know. And I thought to myself, but you know, when things like that happen in your life, I'm not saying it's always discipline or it's always God judging you, but can I tell you that even in those moments, sometimes those things come, and if we're not careful, resentment builds in our hearts, and we begin to despise. How many times, the Dean of Students' Office is probably the least appreciated part of this campus. I worked in it for years. Nobody likes it when the Dean of Students' Office tells you something that you don't like. They're the ones that have to enforce dress codes. They're the ones that have to talk about dating rules. And whenever they come across, if you think the Lukens and you think Brother Metcalf get together every night and they drink tea and eat crumpets and they say, "Boy, how can we make life hard?" You've got it wrong. There's times when they go back and they're probably sick to their stomachs or they're wondering, when's the next shoe going to drop? But sometimes the Dean of Students' Office comes and they tell you something they don't that you don't like or they administer discipline. What is the natural response? It's to despise. Don't you look at me like a bunch of halo-wearing angels out here. There's some of you tonight, you know exactly what I mean. You're like, "I don't like that." Why? Because internally, when correction comes, so often our first instinct is to despise. Now, I'll tell you what, I've met some human authority that had it wrong at times. And I'm going to tell you this, here at Ambassador, I'm going to tell you there's imperfect human authority, just like there's imperfect followership in a pew. And there'll be times when you're as a parent, you'll find and you'll turn around and you'll say to yourself, "Boy, I wish I would have done that differently." But can I tell you tonight, God's the perfect disciplinarian. And when God brings something down your pike or mine, listen to me, we should not despise it. But that is our natural tendency. Or, notice he says, not only despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Sometimes when human authority rebukes us, we want to run and we despise them, or we just want to give up. Can I tell you, there are times when God is going to bear down on you and bear down on me, and that's not the time to raise our fist to God, and that's not the time to say, I quit. Oh, I can't do this. But we've forgotten how God deals with His people. I want to ask you tonight, are you here and you've had a heart of despising both human authority and divine authority? Are you here tonight and you say, God's hand is upon me and I just don't want to go in that direction. I just want to quit. Listen, that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews says, don't do. So number one, it's a forgotten truth. The second thing that I want you to see tonight is that it's a faithful truth. In verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For whom the Lord loveth. Love and discipline, the world says those two things don't belong in the same sentence. But they do. I remember my oldest son Andrew when one day I had him go to the bedroom. And they knew what that meant. And he was in there and he was standing on the bed. He was that small. And I came in there and he knew what the meeting was going to be about. And he just looked at me with big blue eyes filled with tears. And he said, Daddy, I love you. I looked at him. I said, Son, I love you too. Now lay down. You know what, as a parent, I'll tell you that's a pretty painful thing from a human perspective. You say, he's the one that experienced the pain. Listen here, dorm student, the omniscient one who thinks you know all about child rearing right now, and you've judged multiple couples because you've seen children and you wouldn't do it that way. Can I just tell you, when you get married and you have children, I want to be the first to see. And you're going to experience that too. You're going to say, oh my, you're right. That is sort of hard to do. But, you know, in all of those hard things that have to be done, the motivation is because you love that individual. Why is it that God sometimes wants to get your attention in a way that hurts? Why? Because He loves you. As a matter of fact, it's my contention, if you have a life of no discipline of the Lord, aside from the fact that you're not a child of God, which we'll mention here a little bit later, it's a life void of love. Because one of the displays of love is discipline. Boy, if there was ever a book in the Bible I would not have wanted written to me, it was 1 Corinthians. If you're like, why is that? Read it! I mean, boy, by the time you get to the end of the book, I mean, Paul has just emptied every chamber. I mean, from the very get-go, he's talking about preaching the gospel, and the next thing you know, he says, you carnal bunch, here you are saying, I'm of so-and-so, I'm of so-and-so. And before you know it, you're suing each other, you're having immorality harbored among people in the church. And I mean, he lays it down. But do you know how he ended the book? In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 24, he said, my love be with you all. In Christ Jesus. The immature believer's like, yeah, right. Talk to us like that? Yeah, I hear you. If that's love, I'd like to see hate. But it honestly was his motivation. And you know, I'm talking to some of you tonight. Listen, you cannot see accurately what God is trying to do in your life because of the despising in your heart, because of the lack of peace in your heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you want to faint, and you have to understand that God's hand may be against you tonight, but the motivation is love. There's two words that are used. It says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son that He receiveth. I'd have to say this evening, while I don't believe I could dogmatically prove it, I can't help but think the two differences in those, the difference in those two words is a matter of severity. Chastens may be in a broader sense, but scourgeth seems to carry a greater connotation. If I could say it this way, a spanking or a whooping. And you know what that tells me tonight? That tells me that God knows what to employ to get your attention and mine. And I believe tonight that God would use whatever motivation, or you have to use whatever method possible. If it's for our best, God is going to use it. If it's one that results in our humiliation and it breaks down what everybody thought that we were and shows what we actually are, and that's what it takes for God to get our attention when the world turns upside down and the carpet is pulled out from under our feet, one thing we know for sure, God did it because He loved us. Do you know what it means to be chastised by the Lord? Have you ever experienced that before? I want you to think about it in your own Christian walk for just a moment. I know a lot of times in preaching, I'm like, you know, you just listen to me. But I want you to think for the next 15 to 20 seconds, think with me about a time where God chastised you and you had no doubt about it. If you're a believer, you ought to be able to come up with something, I think. And beyond that, have you ever reached a point in your heart where it was so hard, maybe you were walking in your own way, walking away from God, where not only was it a matter of being chastised, but it was a matter of being scourged? You say it was the most painful spiritual experience I've ever had. I just want to tell you that if you've experienced that, it's not because God hated you or God took vengeance on you. It was because God loves you and God wants you to be like Jesus. We see that it's a forgotten truth. We see that it's a faithful truth. But we also see tonight that it's a fearful truth. In verse number 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. If ye, notice the word endure. Have you ever endured anything before? You're like, yeah, I've had to endure some classes. Well, for those of you students that thought that, I want you to know some teachers have had to endure your tests. You know, I learned as a student, it was a horrible thing to take a test that you weren't prepared for, but as a teacher, it's a horrible thing to grade one that they're not prepared for. I mean, how do you grade the verse when they got like two words out of 50 right? I mean, you look at something and you're like, that's not even in the same section of the Bible that this class has been in. What have they been doing? Some of you are like, yes, I've had to endure class today in evangelistic preaching. I had an interesting situation. The clock on the back wall, it's slow. It's like 20 minutes slow. And as I was teaching, I was like, this is the longest class of my life. I was like, time is like standing still. Finally, one of the students, right, he said, Brother Bill, are you like wanting to go long today? I'm like, why is that? He said, it's like, you know, it's like 10 after 1. That was a 12:15 class, all right, so I understand it wasn't 11, but I was like, no, but you know what? Those guys were enduring it after a while, and I was too. You know, I may be talking to somebody, you say, well, I say every time I sit in chapel, I endure it. It's one thing to maybe endure a boring class, but I'm going to tell you, when the Word of God is being preached and you have to endure that, the problem is not with this book. The problem's in our hearts. But sometimes with discipline, when we have to endure it, we have to trudge through it, He said, but if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. If you're here tonight and you say, God's hand is heavy upon me, listen, while that is a grievous thing, there is one thing you can rejoice in, and that's the fact that it's happened to you because you're one of God's children. But I want to tell you, there's a dreadful truth that's stated in verse number 8, when it says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now, this is some very strong language that's found in this verse, basically saying that you are fatherless if you do not experience the chastisement of the Lord. So what am I saying? If you're sitting here and you say, preacher, God has never really, I've never been under chastisement. I have never been disciplined by the Lord. I can sit and have no conviction. I have just glided through life. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And the only reason I do what's right is because of a handbook or because my parents will be disappointed. And you've never experienced the conviction of God or you've never experienced the disciplining hand of God, then listen to me, the Bible's very clear. Be ye raised in a Baptist home or be ye out on the street? If you're here tonight and your life is absent of God's discipline in your life, He says, you're not one of mine. You know, through the years, there have been students that have come to places like this and they've conformed to rules. But after graduation, if they made it that far, what they really were in their hearts was revealed. And they reveled in the fact. They were like, yes, I got through Bible college, and you know what? I'm living the way that I want. And they want to have nothing to do with God. And sometimes they even boast and say, you know, that was just a game that I played. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're just playing a game and you're pleasing a lot of people, but you know that your life has been void of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I think the Bible makes it very plain tonight that then ye are bastards and not sons. And I'll tell you, it'd be a tragedy for somebody to be here tonight and you've played all of the games, you know all of the rules, but you don't do right at all because it has anything to do with God. You are just such a people pleaser. Hey, tonight you can be a child of God. But you have to swallow your pride. You have to admit what you are. You say, that's a painful thing, but I'll tell you, God gives you a wonderful promise, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Amen. But my friend, it's a fearful truth tonight. You have to endure it, but when that discipline does not come, there's no conviction, there's no discipline whatsoever. It's a revelation of your greater need. But the last thing I want to show you tonight is that it's a fruitful truth. Verse number 9, he says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. I don't mean to bring back bad memories, but did you have a dad that corrected you? You can smile about it now, but it wasn't so funny then. But notice the next part of the verse. It says, and we gave them reverence. I want to ask you tonight, do you respect your parents? Do you reverence them? You say, well, it's not like I worship them or anything. That's not what I'm asking. Do you reverence them? Do you know that that's not idolatry for a child to reverence their parents? And you say, well, I'm not a little kid anymore. I didn't ask you that. I'm asking you, do you reverence your parents? You know, your heart's attitude towards your parents is probably a great indicator of what your relationship with God is like. Some of you this evening, you're like, well, you've never been in a home like me. I'll beg your pardon. I probably haven't. But I don't think you were raised in a home that I was raised in. You know what? My parents probably had enough imperfections to rise enough to the ceiling. But I'm going to tell you, there was a command for me to reverence them. Listen, if you're here tonight and you think you've got strict parents and that gives you every reason just to ball up and be mad, I'm going to tell you what, there'll come a day, hopefully on the other side of the river, you'll look back and say, thank God they were overprotective. But just because you're in Bible college doesn't mean that you reverence your parents. Do you respect them? If you don't even respect your own parents, well, how should I expect you to have much reverence to your heavenly authority? But it's funny, the writer of Hebrews appeals and he says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Do you remember when you got your last spanking? You know, it's funny, I talk to teens, they'd be like, yeah, I was 11 years old. Or some of them are like, yeah, I was 17. I'm like, ooh. You know, I think it's pretty safe to say that any of you in this room, you're like, well, my parents aren't going to spank me now. I mean, I'm in college, you know. And you're right, they may not. But can I tell you, God knows how to pick up a 22-year-old and discipline that person to the core of their being. You say, Dad can't bend me over his knee anymore. You're right, he can't. But God can do all of that and more. And he makes the comparison. He says, look, if you respected your physical parents, respect your heavenly Father. Verse number 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. There may be times that a person doubts the discipline of their mom or dad, but listen to me, when God disciplines, the result is, what is He trying to do? He's trying to make us holy. He's trying to clean us up. And there are some of you tonight, you say, listen, I know that I'm not where I need to be. I experience this conflict with God. You have a choice. You can let it escalate, or you know what? You can see what God is doing and enter into holiness rather than this world. Verse number 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What's God trying to bring about in my life? He's trying to make me holy. And He's trying to help me yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He wants me to have peace. I'll tell you how you can be miserable. You can be miserable in a lot of different ways. You can eat pizza late at night and be miserable. You're like, right now that doesn't bother me. Wait 20 years. You'll be miserable. You know what? You can be miserable by, you know, making some dreadful financial mistake, but you can be miserable tonight by sitting here and resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit and have an entire semester where you're just miserable. You might be surprised, but some of the most miserable people I've ever met were in Bible college. For that time, because their heart was fighting, they wanted their own way. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. They wanted to get out from under the teachers. And they wanted to get... The truth is, they just wanted to get out from everybody, including God, although they wouldn't say that. And they were miserable. But it's an amazing thing when the conviction of the Holy Spirit sets in on a person's heart and they, instead of rejecting that conviction, they receive it. And as they yield to God's discipline and as they yield to God's way, there is an amazing peace that flows. And it's your choice tonight. For some of you this evening, the decisions that you'll make this week will either yield holiness and peace this semester, or continued chaos. It's your choice. But I just want to remind us all this evening that God knows how to get our attention. And there are times that God gives a spanking, and then there are times that God gives a whooping. When I was 15 years old and entering my 10th grade year, I was at a great impasse spiritually. I'd been saved for 3 years, but there was a great battle in my heart. The world had just grabbed a hold of me, and the truth is I'd grabbed a hold of it. And at the same time, God was tugging in my heart. There was music that I wanted to listen to. There were people that I wanted to be with. There were clothes that I wanted to wear. There were things that I wanted to do. And I had all of that pulling at me. And yet, the Holy Spirit of God, there'd be times on a public school campus while I'm in the middle of a mess that I can still hear a still small voice saying, "Mm-mm. And it was a miserable time in my life, and I found that all of a sudden the world just kept pulling and pulling and pulling. And it was during that 10th grade year that I said, "You know what? I think I like going this way." And I just kept floating. I kept drifting. I kept drifting. I kept drifting. And on numerous occasions, numerous messages that I had heard, I know that God was trying to get my attention. But you know, there was an event that took place in my life on October of 1989, when I was 15 years old, and I came home on a Wednesday night after church, and I watched my dad in 30 minutes pass off into eternity. It's the first time I'd ever seen somebody die. Now, I'm not saying tonight that if you've experienced the death of a loved one, that means that God's chastising hand is upon you. I'm not God tonight, but I can tell you on Highway 601 between Moxville and Yadkinville, North Carolina, that night when that happened in my life, when I went home to my uncle's house later that night, I had no doubt in my mind God was giving me a whooping. I don't know much of what else would have gotten my attention. And I look back to that moment in my life, and you know what? That's a time where God broke me in such a way, and I started growing in an amazing way after that. But I was so self-willed, I was so stubborn, and I wouldn't give God the time of day. And you know, when I look back at that situation now, some 30 years later, I realize now more than ever why God allowed it and why it happened, because God loves me and God was trying to allow. He used that for a number of purposes of His. But one of those purposes was to take a hard-hearted 15-year-old boy who was a Christian and get his attention. And so as you begin this school year, I want to invite you, don't forget the exhortation. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." And I want you to begin the semester, instead of resisting God, I want you to begin it by running to Him. Let's stop playing games. Let's be honest about who we are and where we're at. And instead of things escalating in our lives, why don't we just stop it tonight? And enjoy that holiness and that peace, which comes by being yielded to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.